The views expressed by guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of their organization.
Welcome to Knowledge Cast. This is a look into the world of knowledge management, information management, data management, and everything else in between. This is brought to you by Enterprise Knowledge. I'm Zach Wall, founder and CEO of EK. And today we're speaking with Nicole Beal, project manager for knowledge management at Ball Aerospace. Nicole, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Yes, Zach. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, fantastic. So as many of our listeners know, I always like to lead off with a pretty simple question, but one that I feel like I always get different answers to. Nicole, what is knowledge management? How do you define it?
Yeah, so I think that I'm a young professional, right? So I have a pretty interesting perspective, but my definition, I try to keep as simple as possible. I say, at least at Ball, I work to develop tools and processes to get the right knowledge to the right person at the right time. There's a lot of nuances and how exactly we do that, you know, what is the right time, so on and so forth. But the thing that I'm adding in recently is that knowledge management is really the business of making people's jobs easier.
I think that is so spot on. And what's exciting about that definition is that A, it just immediately clicks, right? Like, yes, I want it to be easier to find the information I need. Yes, I want to make it easier to perform. Yes, I want to make it easier for me to develop in my career. But it also encapsulates, I think, the complete mission of KM, which is just to smooth the road, to make it simpler. Now, I imagine at Ball, as this very large and complex organization, that definition can mean a lot of different things to different people. So, Nicole, maybe you want to share a little bit about what you're working on now. What are your priorities? What is KM at Ball doing?
You're very correct. There are a lot of different ways that we're implementing knowledge management at Ball. One of the things that I'm really excited about is we're bringing a YouTube to Ball, basically. You know, it's a more secure version, of course. That's one of the major nuances of aerospace, is that we have to be extremely secure with our data and our proprietary information. So that does make us quite a bit unique in terms of the knowledge management industry. But yeah, this YouTube project is going to be really big. I mean, just as you and I might go out and want to regrout the tile in our bathroom, for example, or if I want to make a dumpling or something and I want to learn how to, you know, do the pleats for the dumpling, I go to YouTube. I search on YouTube and I watch a video on how to do that. So that's what we're going to bring to Ball, is a how-to YouTube platform for different processes at Ball. So that's one of the things that I'm most excited about right now. And then we're also working to kind of implement knowledge management across the enterprise. You know, this is a very young program. You know, I just started doing knowledge management at Ball 2.5 years ago, and I'm the first full-time knowledge management project manager we've ever had. So we're really working to spread the word of knowledge management, making people's jobs easier. We just implemented a community of interest sort of Reddit forum across the company, and that's been really successful in helping people find experts. So that's one of the things that I think is really exciting about what we're doing right now.
Fantastic. There's, I think, like 12 things I want to follow up on from that. So first and foremost, let's go back to the YouTube thing. What are you calling it, by the way? Is there like the internally branded?
Oh, yeah. We're calling it AeroStream.
Oh, that's great. So what I love about this, and I think the term that we're hearing a lot in the industry, is learning or performing at the point of need, right? So, you know, you go to the class, you're there for 3 days, you retain about 20% of it. If you get to ask the simple how do I question and get a simple and short answer to that and then perform that task, your uptake on it is like 80%. So the ROI is there, the ability to learn and perform, I think, is really nicely aligned. How did you get traction for that program? Because there's clearly a pretty major investment in that. And as you mentioned, you're the first full-time knowledge management professional within the organization. How did you sell that program internally?
It was actually really easy because there is such a need. Yeah, it was surprisingly easy. People, like I said, our mission is to make people's jobs easier. And when I frame it like that, they get it. So at Ball Aerospace in particular, when I first started 6.5 years ago, we had 2,500 employees. Now we have over 5,000 employees. So we have amazing subject matter experts that are an expert in very technical things. I mean, they may have worked on a nut and bolt for their entire life.
Right.
So they continually get questions over and over again on the same thing. And it's taking up a lot of their time. So my job is to help people gain the access to the knowledge that they need. So like you said, on-demand type of micro-learning. And then also free up what I'm calling our super achievers' time to allow them to get back to the things that they're experts in and begin to innovate and push the business forward.
Fantastic. So the need is there and the expertise is obviously there. Although I can't imagine being an expert in a single nut and bolt. I'm sure that individual knows everything there is to know about that. It sounds like the YouTube concept is one element of knowledge transfer there. What else are you working on? How else does that nut and bolt expert get their knowledge to perhaps a new joiner that wants to be the future expert in nuts and bolts?
So we have a couple of different approaches that we are working on in terms of allowing people to transfer that knowledge. One of the ways is I talked about the communities of interest. Mm-hmm. So I'm framing that as the Reddit of Ball Aerospace, basically, where people can pose questions and then they will get a response from an expert. They can mark it as the best answer. And then that information is out there for the rest of the people to see and search for and use for their own abilities. So that's one of the ways that we're allowing people to get their knowledge out there, because I think it's important that people can't write down everything that they know. So we give them a question prompt and then they're prompted and they answer in the forum. Yeah. So that's kind of the idea there. And then otherwise, we're working on hosting knowledge cafes across the business, which is one of the things that I recently wrote a paper on as how to engage and motivate Generation Z in particular, but I think it spans across the different generations. And maybe it has something to do with COVID, but people actually kind of need this in-person engagement. And whether it's virtual or in-person or hybrid, we give people a space to connect on a certain topic, and then they're able to share and exchange information and knowledge in a space that's viable for that.
Very cool. You know, I want to go back to this. I want to call you out for this, Nicole. I love the fact that you're using these global examples to explain what you're doing at Ball. You said this is going to be our version of YouTube. This is going to be our version of Reddit. That immediately clicks for me. It makes perfect sense. Does that work for all generations at Ball? I could see it working for the younger half of the organization, but do some of the more tenured folks in the organization get what Reddit is? Does that work for them, or do you use a different definition?
It's so interesting because people relate more to Reddit than they do Facebook, at least within the aerospace industry. Because people hear Facebook and they get scared because we're trained in aerospace to know that Facebook is not secure. There's a lot of bad actors out there trying to steal data, so on and so forth. So I really have to be careful in what examples I relate to out in the real world. I think Reddit is still kind of seen as this underground forum in the darkness, or I just say a forum in general. We have a lot of car guys around here, you know, so I can say, when was the last time you worked on your motorcycle, your car, and you went to a forum and tried to learn from a forum?
Love it. That's great. So that actually takes you back to one of your earlier statements. You're in the aerospace field. Data security, information security is a huge component of what you need to make happen within the organization. Sometimes that can be an impediment to knowledge sharing. There can be this fear that somebody is going to share their knowledge and accidentally share something they shouldn't have. How have you had to fight that, or how have you managed that in a way that encourages people to share the right knowledge?
Yeah, we have had to work really hard to overcome the security impediment, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. We have to make sure that every single one of the tools and technologies that we implement is of the utmost security, is the prime focus. With that being said, there's a lot of great tools out there that we just simply can't use. Everybody's talking about AI. We really can't use AI because it's not secure enough in a lot of realms. So we're having to get very creative in terms of what kind of solutions that we offer. One of the things as a company that we are just diving into now is Microsoft 365. Now they have it in the GCC High version, which is great for us. So we're beginning to implement different knowledge management features within the Microsoft 365 environment so we can do some of these things that we've wanted to do for so long. We really just have to be extremely careful on what we implement and how, and our communication around that. We have to be very clear and prescriptive on this is actually just like your My Documents on your computer. It's an on-prem version of this tool. Mm-hmm. So that is kind of how we go around and make sure that people are aware of what we're doing.
That messaging is absolutely a critical piece to this. And you know, you mentioned on-prem as one of the elements of this, which of course, if something's within your network, the assumption is that it's certainly more secure. There could be an argument made that actually using these knowledge management systems or tools is more secure than some of the traditional ways of sharing knowledge. Has that come up as part of your conversations?
Absolutely. Yeah, we try to make sure that people understand that, you know, maybe printing out the documents that you yes. traditionally printed out isn't exactly the most effective or secure way to do things. So it is totally a culture shift, which mm-hmm. I think is one of the specialties that I bring to my role, because I was in marketing communications before I came over and did knowledge management. So making sure that people know the benefits of these different tools and techniques for knowledge management is really one of the strong suits, I think, of our team.
Excellent. So, Nicole, that actually takes me to my next question. You gave me the perfect lineup for it. Thank you for that. How'd you get into KM? What's your background? How did you find yourself to where you are now?
It's been kind of an interesting road, really, I would say. I think as many people, they don't seek out knowledge management necessarily, but knowledge management finds them, right? So I started out in marketing communications. I was actually a journalism and technical communication major.
Ooh, good yes. combo. I like
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah. So I started out, I was writing a lot of stories. In college, I did a few technical stories. As I said, college radio DJ. Got an internship at Ball doing communications and writing stories about the different programs we had here. Did that for about 3-4 years. And over in our security mission assurance organization, they wanted to stand up a knowledge management program. So they brought me over to do knowledge management as a project manager. And that's kind of how I fell into it. I mean, day one, I sat there and I Googled, what is knowledge management?
Wait, after you were given the project management position for KM, you were Googling what is KM?
You bet. I really wow. had no idea what knowledge management was at the time. But somebody who is above me saw the puzzle pieces fit together. And yeah. it really has been a great journey so far. And the right skills have fallen into place. So that's how that happened.
That's incredible. I mean, given everything you're doing at this point, obviously that individual made a very good call in that case. But wow, that's pretty cool. I know, how did you upskill yourself other than Googling what is KM? How have you learned the field? Because I hear what you're doing and what you're saying. You obviously get it and you got it. So where'd you get it from?
It's interesting, I would say. Absolutely. I'm a lifelong learner. And I love to learn things. So I am like ferocious in terms of learning. I want to go out and find every facet and take it to the top level of where I can and learn from them. So I've attended a lot of classes. I took Knowledge Management Institute classes. I think mm-hmm. you're familiar with those.
Yeah.
And I've also attended Knowledge Management World several times at this point to kind of understand where the industry is at and what tools and techniques are current and trending and where the top dogs of knowledge management in any industry have utilized techniques and tools. And then following that, I've actually sought out a couple of different international working groups. I was a part of a working group that was the International Astronautical Congress. It was an international group that worked to put together a paper, and we worked over several months to put together recommendations for businesses. So we learned from various different organizations within aerospace, actually, which mm-hmm. was really, really helpful. That was the most recent thing I've done. And I'm kind of taking that idea into stateside aerospace industry and trying to create my own working group of people within the aerospace industry where we can learn together and take ideas from outside the aerospace industry and learn together within the aerospace industry.
Very cool. You should give a plug to that if you want to. How would somebody contact you if they want to be a part of that?
Yes, you can reach me at nicole.beal@ballaerospace.com. And right now we're just getting things together in terms of the group, but it will be coming out very shortly. So if you just send me an email, then I can provide you with more details soon to follow.
Awesome. Now, you mentioned that the International Working Group published a paper. Is that available, accessible for anyone interested, or was that just internal to the group?
No, it will be available. I actually can't tell you where it is. Will be available at this time. They should be publishing it after the first of the year. So I can kind of just get back to you on that one,
yeah,
on where that will be.
That's great. Can you preview any of the major recommendations or guidance from that?
Yeah, I sure can. So the question that we set to tackle was, how do we effectively facilitate knowledge management for Generation Z in the aerospace industry? It was quite the problem. It was really something very interesting to tackle. So our process was to do interviews across multiple different industries of KM professionals. So we interviewed them each for about 30 minutes. And then we also talked to Generation Z students in the aerospace industry. So you got a wide breadth of point of view with the topic of knowledge management. So following that, we came up with four recommendations. The first recommendation is about allowing not just Generation Z, but any new employee into a business, that 10% of their time should be able to work on interorganizational activities. So things like that, to me, are knowledge cafes where they can go and learn about the different topics around the business. Things like that, where they can actually go and sit and learn about the business rather than just jumping into the task that they have at hand. That's recommendation one. Recommendation two is to inject some sense of fun and meaningfulness into the flow of everyday work, which I think is true for everybody. Who doesn't want to have fun at work, right?
Certainly. I mean, when you see the surveys and you hear about the different generational wants and needs, fun and purpose are right at the top of the list for Gen Z. So I'm sure that research influenced your thinking there. It makes sense.
And I think one of the things that we learned throughout this process too was that Generation Z is not that different from any other generation.
No.
You know, we all want to have that purpose and that fun at work. Mm-hmm. And I think especially within the aerospace industry, you know, we're in this business because we want to see change in the world. We want to find aliens. We want to do all kinds of fun stuff. Space is cool. And so I think that the purpose-driven aspect of the aerospace industry is really apparent.
I love that. Space is cool should be the tagline insert for this particular episode of Knowledge Cast. And I want to come back to this point about generations, because I personally very much agree with you. I always read the articles, and these are the differences, and these are the wants, and these are the priorities. And then I actually look at my team members and I say, nobody's that different. Everybody cares. And if you care, we can find the commonalities and we can focus on those. So let's come back to that point. But you've got two recommendations from your research left to share with us.
Yes. So recommendation three is to fully integrate knowledge management into the already working processes that businesses have. So you can do this maybe by knowledge champions in certain areas. I don't think it's feasible for just a knowledge management team, or at least ours, you know, we're three people, to know all of the different working processes across a business. So by activating knowledge champions across a business, people that understand similar ideas of what we're trying to do, then we can actually have a wider reach than just the three of us put together.
Well, and that's when an organization is trying to get people to, quote unquote, do KM, that's really hard. But when an organization is just making it easier for people to do their work, whether they know the letters K or M, it doesn't really matter. It's that you've enabled these processes and these technologies, right?
Absolutely. You get it.
Thanks. I better at this point. So what's the last one? What's number four?
The last one is to empower employees to have more self-directed work and to take their schedules into their own hands. This is really one that's targeted to Gen Z, because if you think of, you know, maybe yourself or any CEO, VP level, they're going to block time out on their calendars to do the things that they need to do. Or maybe it's just to even go to the gym at lunch. But people that are coming in fresh, they don't feel like they have the ability to do that. So giving them the permission to say, if you need to set time aside on your calendar to work on a project or go do something for yourself, then you should do that.
That's smart, Nicole. This is interesting because that recommendation, it's a KM recommendation, but it's also very much a future of work recommendation. And I think it shows how we're transforming as businesses and organizations. So you took a pretty wide breadth here. I like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, we really took knowledge management and said, how can we make this actionable that everybody in the business would understand what we're talking about?
Very cool. Okay, so let's go back to the generational thing. You've obviously done a fair bit of research and study on this. There are differences, and we can design for those differences. But overall, how much stock do you put in this? Different generations work differently, think differently, need to be accommodated in different ways.
So I think really generations are more similar than they are different, at least in the modern day. The ones that are currently working really have very similar motivations. You want to make more money or enough money to get you by. You want to have some sense of purposefulness and a sense of fun. I don't think anybody wants to go to work and hate their job. So those are things that are just consistent across the board. The one thing that I do think is different between Gen Z and the rest of any other generation is that they are what I'm calling a digital native. They had technology in their hands from the second that they were born, basically.
And by they, you mean you, right? Where do you fit into this?
I am very much on the cusp. I am technically a millennial, but almost a Gen Z. So I would say I fall right in the sweet spot in between both.
There it is. So you can be the bridge, as KM professionals often are. I, on the other hand, as a Gen Xer, can remember my senior year in college, one of my professors turning to me and asking, "Zach, have you browsed the World Wide Web yet?" And my answer was, "No, professor, what is that? What is that mystical thing?"
So, wow.
Yeah, I got it. I know. Nobody ever can picture that. That certainly none of the Gen Zers. Everybody always laughs at that particular image. So, Nicole, let's talk a little bit more about what you would recommend to somebody who wants to get in the field. Because you talked about KMI, you talked about KM World, but you also did some really interesting and beautifully aggressive work to go like find your cohort to learn from others internationally. Talk to me more about what you would recommend to somebody that wants to be where you are or wants to be regarded as an expert in KM and is maybe not knowing where to begin.
I have a couple of thoughts on that. I think that there are a lot of companies out there that the knowledge management group that they have was completely homegrown by somebody who had an idea and that it kind of evolved into a knowledge management group. There are companies that is not the case, but a lot of the people that I work with, it's kind of a homegrown grassroots approach. So I would say people, if somebody's interested in knowledge management, you can do it if you want to do it. Research, dive in, figure out exactly what you want to do, what your idea is to implement within the business that you're already in, and then see how you can implement that and find a champion to help you do so. I think that there's a lot of great resources out there. You know, I mentioned the Knowledge Management Institute. That was pretty key in me just figuring out what knowledge management is. Knowledge Management World Conference is also another really great resource. That was one of the first things I did coming into the job was go there and learn about what other companies were doing. That costs a little bit of money, though, and resources, so that may or may not be available to people. And then finally, I would just say, if you listen to the organization that you're in, there's going to be a problem that you're going to have to solve within terms of knowledge management. So I think if people can come up with an idea and get some champion support, then they can do it.
I want to highlight what you just said, because I think it's so important to anybody who wants to be successful as a knowledge manager within an organization. And it's listen. It's actually listen a lot more than you talk, because every organization has the challenges, the issues, and being able to hear them and hear them in the context of what that organization does and is, I think is such a rare skill. And frankly, way too many KM professionals are missing it. So, how'd you figure that out? I mean, is that just you naturally? Is that your background, your education? Was that learned? Where'd you get that from?
You know, I think I did learn to listen actually in college, because doing interviews, being a journalistic person, you have to go out there and listen to people to find the stories. And when you're truly listening and giving people the space to talk, that's when you really get the magic. So I think that's where that came from.
I love the journalism background. You also mentioned technology, or a focus on technology. So what first brought those two worlds together for you?
I really don't know. That's a great question. I mean, when I first went to college, I wanted to be a travel magazine writer. And now here we are. So it's come very different directions.
I want to be a travel magazine writer. That sounds great.
Right? How do I get that gig? So I think that I kind of got into technology just because it was cool. Mm-hmm. And obviously there's a future in technology. We're only going more digital. Yeah. So I started writing pieces about technology and how humans could evolve and transform what they're doing through technology, which kind of led me to my job here at Ball.
Love it. So, Nicole, what gets you excited about either the presence of KM, the present day, or the future of KM? What are you most fired up about right now?
There's a lot, I think, happening right now. The thing that I am most excited for and a little scared for is extended reality and virtual reality. Mm-hmm. I think that extended reality and augmented reality, whatever you want to call it, all the buzzwords, is totally the future of knowledge management and training in particular, and ways that we can't even really fathom today. So we have a group at Ball, which is our XR department, and we partner hand in hand. We always talk about what we're doing, how we can collaborate, what other videos and training methods we can use going forward to enhance KM. And I think that is the future.
Very exciting. Now, why do you say that that's scary? Where's the concern there?
Well, I think that it's so unknown in terms of recent developments. I think of Meta and the new metaverse announcement and things like that, where, you know, I'm very technology forward, but the complete marriage of some kind of new metaverse in our reality does scare me a little bit.
Fair. Now, you mentioned earlier that Ball hasn't done a lot, Ball Aerospace hasn't done a lot with AI because there are some security concerns. And it's interesting because I've worked in some pretty sensitive fields, and that hasn't come up. As long as they're using the right technology set and it's on-prem, I haven't seen the security concern being a major impediment. Can you share a little bit more about what's concerning Ball Aerospace, or what's keeping that from taking hold?
Sure. I think the aerospace industry is pretty traditional in terms of their adoption to technology. Somebody once related it to trying to make a change in the aerospace industry is like trying to turn the Titanic with your hand as the rudder. So you'll get there. It'll just take a long time. And I think we're starting to see that switch and that transition to now we're moving things into the cloud. Now we're utilizing these new technologies that we haven't before. So we're starting to get there. And I think we will get there. It's just a matter of time.
Got it. So not an inherent concern with AI as a field or the technology therein, just more about baby steps for the organization, because that's how things have always happened. Did I get that right?
Yes, absolutely. And there is, you know, we want to make sure that the security is tried and true and that somebody else tests it out before we jump on board typically. So that's where we're at.
Fantastic. Got it. You mentioned finding a champion, and you also mentioned the fact that you were sort of tapped for this role. So finding the right business champion is absolutely critical. Can you tell the story to our listeners of how you found yours, or how they found you?
So I think the real magic that happened for me was I have a really, really great mentor. I met this mentor actually when I was an intern at Ball, and it kind of happened organically. We just started meeting and talking about career development and where I wanted to be and so on and so forth. I knew that I needed to leave the role that I was currently in. And He really helped me get in contact with the VP that is overseeing our security mission assurance organization. And he said, we have a great job. We're trying to do this thing called knowledge management, and you would be a perfect fit for that. So I think that having a mentor on your side, not only a champion, but as somebody who is a mentor for you and that can champion you specifically, is really key to being a young professional and growing. And then also having that person know a lot of people. And of course, it's all about who you know yourself too. So I think those are really important things.
Wonderful. So you mentioned security mission assurance. A lot of times folks ask me where the KM organizations should sit within an organization. So can you share a little bit more about where KM sits within Ball Aerospace?
Sure. So we are in the Security and Mission Assurance Strategic Support Unit, which is one of the facets of Ball. You know, we have our business units, engineering, national defense, those kinds of things, and we have our support units. So we are one of those. And knowledge management sits, we have a director as our manager. So we are pretty high level. And the purpose of that is to get the executive support across the board.
Right. Excellent. And you mentioned a team of three at this point, but you were the first. So how have you built your team?
Yes, we've fluctuated a little bit. We've been up to five. Now we're at three. We'll probably gain a few more in the next couple years. So we have an interesting group. We have myself, who is a project manager. We have another person who is awesome, and she specifically focuses on training. And then we have another who is a SharePoint expert. So he is really responsible for helping us build custom tools. And we templatize those and send them out to the business and say, here you go.
Wonderful. So where we'll end, Nicole, I'd love to get your thoughts on what is that must do for an organization in order for KM to stick, in order for it to be successful and regarded as business critical. What have you done?
What we've done to make KM successful and really what is a must do within the organization, I have a couple of thoughts. One,
please.
Have the executive support, like I mentioned. I think just as equally important is the support and the power of the people. If you don't have people doing it, it's not going to work because it's really to help make their jobs easier.
Yeah.
So I think communication comes really into play in that part. So if you have good communications, that will be successful. And the thing that is so important, and this is really the must do, is talk about the benefits of what you're doing. If you don't communicate the benefits and why it's important to partake in whatever tool or technique or initiative that you have, it won't be successful.
Well said. At the end of the day, KM cannot be a hobby and it can't be something that people do because they were asked pretty please. It needs to be good for them. It needs to be good for the organization. And you're going to fail if you don't make it very clear how that is the case. So that is absolutely a takeaway that I agree with. Nicole Beal, project manager for KM at Ball Aerospace, thank you so much for sharing your time and expertise. Wonderful conversation. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Zach.
For those out there, thank you for listening to this episode of Knowledge Cast. And to check out more on knowledge management, visit our website at enterprise-knowledge.com. Thanks, everybody.